Thank you, Tammy. Well, good morning. Well, a couple things. Preachers have to, there's even a clock. That's good. Preachers have to preach before they preach, just in case you didn't know that. So three things I just want to mention very briefly. Some of you know that I wasn't born in America, and was actually born in Africa, but British citizen. But I became an American citizen, and I have to tell you, even with the mess that we've got going on right now, this is still an amazing country. And so we can be thankful for that. The other thing that's pretty amazing is this church. We moved up here about 2 years ago, and COVID hit and all the mess of that, but it has been a tremendous blessing for Angel and I to be able to be a part of this church family. And there are a lot of things that you guys are getting right, but probably the biggest thing is you love each other. And I love what Jesus said. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you go to church a lot, if you know a lot. No. If you give a lot. No, it's if you love people, right? And it is evident to me that this is a body of believers. And then the third thing I want to mention is we have an awesome pastor and his family. And I just want to encourage you, as they're on vacation, pray for them to have a restful time. And you know, we give pastors a hard time. Sometimes we say things like they work one day a week. That's not true. And so I just want to encourage you. Love on your pastor. Love on his family. And we are very blessed. So you guys heard the scripture that was read. And I'm going to reread part of this. It says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I think the first thing that we have to see here is, number one, the point. What is the point of prayer? Prayer is for God, not for men. We can get so caught up in what does everybody else think about us. And what I love here is God saying, I'm completely freeing you from that. You don't have to worry about what other people think. Because can I remind you, it is not about looking good. It is about loving God. And I think a lot of us struggle with image. We have a whole culture today that struggles with what I call the disease to please. This, how does everybody perceive me? Do I fit in? Am I accepted? Am I loved? And one of the wonderful things about actually spending time with God in prayer, in the secret, just you and Him, is it frees you from worrying what everybody else thinks about you. And we have in our culture today a massive esteem issue. Do I measure up? And so we're trying to find our esteem through our work, through our money, through our looks, through our abilities, on and on and on it goes. But our esteem doesn't come through all of those things. It comes through our relationship with God. And can I just say this? When you've spent time with the King of the universe, there's no one that you need to impress. If people ask you, like sometimes we think, man, if I could just run into this person who's rich and powerful and whatever, that'd be really awesome. But here's the reality. When you spend time with the Creator of the universe, is there really anybody else that's really that impressive? And so I think one of the first things here is the point, it really is about God. And then it goes on to say, but when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard with their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Prayer is not about words. It's about worship. Prayer is not about information. It's about transformation. And I think sometimes we go and we babble on and on and on trying to paint a picture for God of what's going on in our lives like he's clueless. I find myself doing that, rambling on and on, telling God about everything that's going on. And God's saying very simply, get to the point. I know that. You see, prayer is not really us painting a picture for God of what's going on. It's really for us to understand his picture of what's really going on. I don't know if you've ever put a jigsaw puzzle together. I used to do those when my kids were little, and then they'd run through the house and knock them over, and so I kind of quit. It frustrated me. But if you've ever put a puzzle together, how often do you have to look at the picture? Regularly, right? Have you ever tried to put one together without ever looking at what it's supposed to look like? You see, I should be clicking. Sorry about that. Just dawned on me. There you go. This is the purpose. We just had the point, right? What's the purpose? You see, it is about seeing God's picture. And I don't know if you've ever been there where you're not really getting the pieces put in the right order. You can force stuff, but you're still not going to get the picture of what God really wants you to see. And one of the beautiful things about prayer is it stops me from trying to force the picture that I want and end up breaking the pieces. And then it says, so if you're going to pray, pray like this. And the reason that Jesus gave this prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, it was really the disciples' prayer, because the disciples came and they watched Jesus pray and they said, we want to learn how to pray. And so we get to this, the personal, our Father. Notice it doesn't say the Father or a Father. This is very similar to what David said in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, not a shepherd or the shepherd. This is personal. You see, God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. But I think a lot of times what we do with prayer is we make it about results more than we do a relationship. We make it more about our problems than about being in his presence. And you and I need to understand that in order to have a relationship with God, we have to admit that we're sinners. And sometimes we get pretty prideful with that. And what we do is we say, well, I'm better than so-and-so, so I'm going to get into heaven. Or I'm going to do good works so I can get into heaven. But the Bible says that you can only come to the Father through the Son. And Jesus Christ died for every one of us. And at some point in our lives, we have to admit, first of all, I'm a sinner. And secondly, we have to recognize that the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the wages of sin are death. And then I love this, but God, right? You see, he sent Jesus Christ to die for every one of us. And my prayer this morning would be that there wouldn't be anybody in here that hasn't accepted Christ as personal Savior. Because here's the thing, the very first thing we pray is our Father. Is God your Father through a relationship with Jesus Christ? What kind of a relationship would I have with my wife if the only time we communicated was when I had a problem or we had a problem? We probably wouldn't have much of a marriage, right? And I think sometimes that's what we do with God. We just come to him when we've got problems. Corrie Ten Boom put it so well. She said, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is it just the thing you go to when you have problems? Because think about this phrase that we say often. I guess all we can do now is pray. Shouldn't prayer have been the first thing, not the last thing? You see, when we were dating, I couldn't wait to spend time with Angel. Not for what I could get out of the relationship or because we had problems. I just wanted to be with her. I just wanted to hear her. I just wanted to listen. And then marriage comes along, and then kids come along, and then all of a sudden you do have to find two pennies to rub together because you can't live on love forever, right? And you know what? It's so easy to just allow our communication to become information. Honey, we're out of milk. The kids have a ball game, this. That doesn't do anything for the relationship. I love what David said. when you look at Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. I think that really becomes a true picture of what prayer is. And so I wanted to give you a little visual. And I stole my dog's stuff. They're kind of mad at me, but they'll get over it. I should probably steal this table over here. You know you got a bad preacher when they're rearranging this furniture. All right, this will work. I think most of you should be able to see this. So if this jar represents our life, and we've got all kinds of different things. We've got the small stuff of life, kind of the medium stuff of life, the big stuff of life. The big stuff of life is kind of like prayer, our relationship with God, our marriage, our kids. The small stuff of life is a lot of times the nitty-gritty, the worry, those kinds of things. Medium stuff, the finances of life. And you know what most of us do? Most of us start out very simply trying to fill our lives or deal with all of the small. Man, I hope I don't make a mess. I'll clean up if I do. Ask my wife. I can clean. I don't do it very often, but I can. And so we start with the small kind of annoyances of life, the little stuff. And then we turn around and we get into kind of the medium stuff of life, the finances, all of that. And then we take some time for marriage, our kids. Well, there's not really room for God. But what if we reverse that? This is where it's fun. You got to separate. So bear with me. Guess what I brought for potluck today? I told you I could clean but not cook, right? All right, let's start over. What if we do put God first? What if we say that our marriage is important, our family is important, the big stuff of life? Then what if we do deal with the next things of life? Things that are important, the finances, all of that stuff, the house. Then what if we take and say, you know what, we're going to deal with the small things of life. But we're going to put them in the proper priority. Everything fits. Isn't that something? And so I want to encourage you. Start with this, the personal. And then it says that he's in heaven. That's the position. God is everywhere, but this is really speaking about his rule. I don't know if you know this, but he is in control, even when your life is not. And so often what we do is we determine our sense of peace, our sense of thankfulness, our sense of security based on everything but God. We base it on our health. Some of you have experienced this already. Your health is going to fail. We can balance or place it on our wealth. We can place it on our marriage. Some of you have lost a spouse. We can put our security on lots of different things, but what if we placed it on the fact that God is in control? What if we made our peace and security more on God's position than our political persuasion? Because there are some of us that are convinced that if the election had gone differently, we wouldn't have to be in a panic. Can I tell you, no matter what goes on in your life, you can still live in peace. But we have made so much of our focus politics instead of position. And then it says, may your name be kept holy. And this deals with purity. This deals with a reverence, a holy fear of God. It causes us to focus on who God is, but also who we are and where we're at in our hearts. Isn't it amazing that this starts with praise and not the problems? Now, we're going to get to the problems, but they have to come in the right priority. We don't start prayer with problems. We start with the personal, his position, his purity. Do you spend very much time in your prayer life praising? I have found myself at times being more of a whiner than a worshiper. I'm like a little kid that's just complaining about everything that I think is not going right, and I'm missing everything that's going well. But what if we praise God for who He is? His goodness, His holiness. What if we started with thankfulness? And then we come to, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the plan. And the question I have to ask a lot of times is very simply this. Giles, are you building your castle or God's kingdom? How much of your prayer life revolves around your castle versus God's kingdom? And there's a couple of things that are going on here. We were not created to build our own little castles. We were created and called to something so much bigger. It's called the kingdom of God. It encompasses everything. And it says here, not only would God's kingdom come soon, but would His will be done on earth in the same way it is in heaven. And there's two things here. First, the focus is where? Here. Right? The focus is God's will being accomplished here in this county and throughout this country and throughout the world. But notice how. The way it's done in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but when Elijah had his meltdown moment of depression and he wanted to give up and die, God didn't give him a pep talk. He dispatched an angel to minister to him. Now, I don't know if you think like I do, but I have these thoughts at times like, what was that like when God went and said to the angel, hey, I got a special assignment for you today. You're going to be a cook for one of my servants, for a human being. Do you ever think that for an angel, that's a little below an angel? Like literally, God, you created me to be a cook for a human being? Do you think for one moment that that angel argued with God and said, well, can I not get a better assignment? Like, why did Gabriel get to announce the birth of Jesus? Why can't I get that assignment? Or do you think the angel said, well, I got stuff going on, I'll get to it next week? No, there was an immediate obedience. And the question that I have had to ask myself many times in my life is very simply this. Am I obeying or am I delaying? That's a tough one. Because sometimes God asks us to do things that we don't really want to do, that we think are maybe beneath us. But you know what Jesus said? If you give a cup of cold water, how hard is that? To the least, you've done it for me. I'll recognize that. We're not talking about we've got to be doing huge, massive things for God. Because when we love the least, you know what we do? We pull the curtain back on heaven and we reveal God and His heart to the world. And then it goes on, and now we get to us. You see how far down the list? Provision. Give us today our daily bread. You know, if all I ever do is come to God with my problems in prayer, you know what I'll leave with? My problems. Often I am tempted to start with my needs instead of who God is and His mission and His plan. And there's a couple things that are going on here. One is, what are your daily needs? We have to get honest with God. Jesus said, man can't live by bread alone. So bread is a part of this, like your physical food. So what are your physical needs? Talk to God about your physical needs. Then second, what are your emotional needs? Some of you are going through grief, sadness. Talk to God about those things. And then what are your spiritual needs? You know, some of us, we're dealing with anger. We're dealing with fear. We're allowing fear instead of faith to rule our lives. And we got to talk to him about that. But notice it says daily. How often do we have to talk to God about this? Every day. But you know what we want to do with our needs? We want to build systems that cover our needs so we don't have to talk to God. We want to build pantries full of food so we don't have to talk about our need for manna. You remember the Israelites, they got it every day. They had to go out and collect it and trust God for the next day. But we don't really want to trust God with some things. And so we build bank accounts and we build all these different things. There's nothing wrong with that. But if the goal of that is so I can be the person who meets the needs of my life, then what we're saying is, God, I don't need you. But can I tell you, there are some things that you can't meet. Then we get to number 8, the power. And the reason I say this is it says, and forgive us our sins. And then it goes on, as we forgive those who sin against us. And at the end of the prayer, Jesus makes a powerful statement. And he says, look, if you won't forgive people, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And so there's two parts to this. One is the sin that you have done. And the second is the sin that has been done to you. And this is a beautiful thing to be able to come and get right with God and to be able to confess. Think about this. The only person that can forgive you is God. That's power. Incredible power. But you know what I love? God often allows us to partner with Him in His power. The very beginning, God created Adam and Eve. But then you know what He said to Adam and Eve? I'm going to give you the ability to partner with me in creating life. I'm going to share a part of my power. Is that not amazing when you look at your kids and you say, God, allow me to partner with Him in that? But then the other thing is this idea of forgiveness. And so often we're like, well, I don't want to forgive people. They hurt me. But think about it. God's inviting you to partner with Him in the power of forgiving people, not so that they can get off the hook, but so that you don't get hooked. So that you don't end up in the prison of bitterness and anger and strife and unforgiveness. Because here's the reality. This is relationship-driven, not result-driven. God wants you to have right relationships with Him and with other people. And God invites us, but here's the thing. If you won't forgive people, God won't forgive you. That's a pretty powerful statement, right? And what God's saying is, look, I take grace very seriously. And I'm not going to give grace to you unless you're willing to pass that on. We've been to Israel several different times, led tours over there. It's an amazing, amazing trip to go to Israel. But there's this sea called the Dead Sea. You know why it's dead? There's no outflow. The water that comes into the Dead Sea comes out of the Sea of Galilee through the Jordan. Now, the Sea of Galilee is teeming with fish and life, right? But then the next sea, that's Dead Sea, there is no life. Why? No outflow. You know what happens in our life where there's no outflow of grace? We die. We become bitter, miserable Christians. And I don't know about you, but that's just not a great way to be a witness for Jesus. Number 9, protection. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Just remember, you have an enemy, and remember who your enemy is. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not your neighbor. Remember who your enemy really is. And I love this, that Jesus is going to, if we talk to Him, protect us from some things we can't protect ourselves from. You can put locks on your house. You can even get a gun. But can I tell you, your gun is worthless when it comes to lust. And guys and gals, you can't fight that battle on your own without God. Your locks on your door, they're worthless against gossip or pride or jealousy or bitterness or slander. These are the things that we need God's protection for. And then lastly, proclaim. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Notice that the prayer starts with God and ends with God. I don't know about you, but a lot of my prayer life over the years, my prayer life started with me and ended with me, and it was all about me. And I wondered why I would walk away feeling like there was no power in prayer. You see, prayer can change your circumstances, but most often it changes you. Elijah went and spent time with God on the mountain after his moment of depression. And can I ask you, which mountain changed Elijah? Was it Carmel with the fire that came down, or was it the mountain of God? I don't know about you, but you would think logically that the great display of fire coming down would be what changed him, but it didn't. It's not fire and power and all those kinds of flashy things that will change your life. It is spending time with God, listening to the still, small voice of God. And when he got done with that, the only thing that had changed was Elijah, because God sent him right back out into the same battle, the same Jezebel, the same idolatrous people. The only thing that changed was Elijah. And so often what I want is I want God to change everything around me, but not me. I mentioned it's not about information, it is about transformation. Because if all prayer ever does is change our surroundings, but it doesn't change us, we'll never grow. I think prayer invites us into three wonderful opportunities. The first is to be reminded of who God is. You and I, on a daily basis, need to be reminded of the God that we serve. His attributes, his power. But secondly, we need to be reminded we're not God. So number one, prayer reminds you of who God is. Number two, it reminds you of who you are in relationship to God. You are the beloved child. We forget that sometimes, don't we? Jesus was told, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." You're the beloved child. And then third, it reminds us of what God's called us to do. His will, not our wants. God, I need to be reminded daily who you are, who I am in relationship to you, and what you've called me to do. Because guess what? Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." There are some things that you are not called to that you need to say no to. And there are some things you're called to that you need to say yes to. Because every time you say yes, you're saying no to something else. Every time you say no, you're leaving an opportunity to say yes to something else. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Help us to be able to prioritize our lives, to really take the time for the big things first. Help us to allow the little things just to fit around our relationship with you, not to take your place. We pray these things in your name. Amen.